B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Appreciate it.
Gentlemen of the jury, what's happening back there?
How we good?
Man, I'm just getting hyped, man. I'm ready to go get some, I'll be over in Philly today, get some gear for the Fanatic Fan Fest, man. Me and my bodyguard, Big Steve, would definitely be there. But looking forward to seeing all you guys and whatnot. But I'm going to get into my sports thing with my scene, man. My mom knew I was out of it. I was over her at my dad's house. She got, you know, Halle Berry's movie Catwoman. She said, what was it about?
Yeah.
I was like,
wow.
Uh-huh. My mom said, you know what, just forget it. Forget it. Just forget it. And she snatched the DVD out. But, yeah, that man, look. Yeah, but moving on with the Eagles. Fellas, in tonight's game, give me three players that you'll have your eye on.
Josh Sweat.
Okay.
Of course, Andre Dillard again, and then also if Jason Peters plays in this game.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about you, Rusty, Gemini of Detroit?
I'm with Trey on Jason Peters just because I want to see him move around a little bit. Uh-huh. See, I want to see him be healthy, and I want to see him take. I want to see him go out of a game just because it's his time to go out of a game, not because of anything other than that. You know what I'm saying? No injuries, no nothing. Just get in and out as fast as possible. The other thing I'm going to be looking at, honestly. Like Josh McCown, if he's playing tonight, I just want to see him with the offense. It was a short amount of time. The Eagles look like they now have a pretty damn good backup in Josh McCown, a guy that's a veteran. He's spent time. It's well documented now with, I think the Eagles are his 12th NFL team that he spent time with. I think he's played for 7 or 8. I want to see him play. And I also want to see Deshaun Hall continue doing what he's been doing, which is just dominating so far this preseason.
Yeah, he's just been an animal, Bob. Fellas, once again, love you guys in a couple more days, and I'll be seeing you guys. Peace. God bless to you.
Back at you, Scott. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, see you at FanFest, my friend. Saturday.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Got a couple tweeted in of scenes.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
Yeah. Reminded me of some old favorites.
The one we have from Petty is a pretty good one, if people want to get involved in that, and Bill as well. Chiming in on some pretty iconic scenes and movies. Now, again, keep in mind, this is more of a PG thing, so you got to think a little bit here. The Mr. Patel here on Twitter as well has a pretty good one. But you are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WP and Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. As Scott just brought up there, there is an Eagles football game tonight. And usually, Trey, this is the time, third preseason game, where we're like a little bit hyped, because you're going to see the starters for three quarters. You're going to see how the offense looks. In any other season, you're going to watch Carson Wentz throw to DeSean Jackson, and you might see that for the first time ever, right?
Uh-huh.
Probably not happening tonight.
Nope.
And I think most people would agree.
We're going to rock that 10-0. We're going to get back to the 10.
I think most people would agree that's fine.
Yeah.
Nobody wants Carson playing tonight.
Nope.
Nobody wants to see any of that tonight.
Nope.
They want to wait for week one.
Yep.
But that kind of sucks.
Maybe.
I get it. It's the way the league's going and all that. But it still kind of sucks. Because I want to enjoy as much football as possible throughout a calendar year. And even if that's preseason game number 3 that I have to look forward to, yeah, I'll take it. Because I still get to watch the guys that I want to root for all season long play football.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all be cautious. Don't let them play just yet. We don't want anyone getting hurt. And I get that. And like I said, I think most people agree. But it is odd for the first time in a long time, third preseason game, doesn't mean anything.
Nah, it doesn't. Because everybody's right now, it's like, all right, hey, let's just stay healthy. We just want to make it out of this. Just know, don't touch him. Don't even get close to him. Don't even look at him hard. Don't look at him.
So... I know Alshon Jeffrey shot it down, and he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the joint practices and all that. But this is the way the league is going. The league is going to a version of football that is going to have 2 preseason games, and it's going to probably have 2 joint practices in training camp.
Yep. Televised joint practices.
Probably.
Probably, right? I mean, you have to give the fans what they want.
Uh-huh.
And think about this. You haven't seen anything of the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So fans are going to be vocal about it, and the NFL is going to hear them. This is bad. It's a bad product, and fans are going to start talking, and it can't stay the same.
I agree with you on that. I think fans are going to start talking. So you're televising the practices.
Well,
then it would be like the way they did the open practice,
yeah,
where it shows very little.
I don't think
they actually. They won't show the open practices. Mm. What I would like them to do is have open practices in a stadium, not open practices.
That's a novel idea.
At the NovaCare complex. Like, seriously, and I was talking to some other media people when I was down there. Jamie, when I saw you yesterday.
Yeah, I was stunned how few people were there.
In terms of what? In terms of fans?
Well, fans, you know, corporate sponsorship, season ticket holders. There's that. But it was not a lot of people at that joint practice.
Well, I mean, you can't really fit that many people.
No, you can't. But, like, the tents on the side were all empty. I was like, this is just weird anymore.
It is, and it's unfortunate. And I hate that fans can't experience that. And we've argued that, and we'll continue to argue that. And it'll come up every year until they decide to do more with the fans during the preseason. But, yeah, that's the way the league is going. It's going to the two practice, or it's going to the two preseason games, and it's going to probably more joint practices. And Doug Peterson talked about it the other day. But it is just odd to look at a third preseason game as the game that we would look as the most crucial of a non-crucial four-game preseason.
Tom Brady, as of last year, still played in this game.
Well,
for a while.
Well, he's a gamer.
Threw 18 passes last year in that third game, right, James?
How many Super Bowls has he played in?
He's played in 8.
I think it's 9.
9 now? Yeah, well, how about that?
Pretty good.
Good for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, if there's a blueprint you want to steal, the Patriots are probably that, right?
No one's arguing against it. Minus the whole cheating thing. But whatever. That's neither here nor there.
Hey, I want my coach cheating, too.
Just not getting caught. But I look at it as a time where we would have our first real appetizer to the main course. That's what the third preseason game was.
Yeah.
And now that's not a thing. And the crazy thing is, from any pushback fans might give about preseason or open practices or whatever, there's no pushback about not seeing starters. But Jason Peters talked to some media members yesterday. And Jason Peters talked about kind of what the expectation is of him going into this season, and not just the season, but the third preseason game in its isolated instance.
Every year you got to have a good year here in Philly. You're going to get down tough. When you got the joint practices, it's pretty much playing the game every day. We just had two of them back to back. Don't know. We probably play. I'm thinking I'm going to play a half, but I'm not sure. But I'm preparing myself like I'm going to play the whole game.
Jason Peters basically laying it out there, basically what we all know already, which is that we're a tough town to play in. And Trey, you've said many times, it's not for everybody. Philadelphia's
not for everybody.
Even if it's the preseason, we still wouldn't play 100%.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Go 100%. Jason Peters talking about possibly playing a half?
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I'd be shocked if you played more than two series.
Yeah.
What would you, if you're calling the shots for the Eagles tonight, how much do you see of Jason Peters?
I mean, you let Jason Peters go as long as he wants, but I don't see him playing more than, I don't see him coming out of the first quarter. Not going into the second quarter.
Okay. So at most you have him out there for however many series is in one quarter.
Yeah. And then, that means Isaac is going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Jason Peters is playing, you're not putting him up there out there with just any guard. Mm. You know, so that means, is Kelsey playing in this game as well?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you're looking at, this is going to be your group right now, except for Lane Johnson.
Mm.
Going into, so this is pretty much your starting group right now, you know, minus Lane. So you're going to have Jordan out there, Big V, Kelsey, Isaac, and JP.
And who do you put under center? Why not give that number 11 a little love?
You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that just because you got Jordan out there.
Yeah.
Look, here's my dream scenario. What I'd love to see tonight is Carson drops back for one pass, and we all know what it is. It's a bomb down the sideline to Deshaun Jackson, who runs it in for the end zone, runs it into the end zone for the touchdown, right? That's what we want to see. We want to see the T.O. play, right? That's what we want to see. Flyer out, bam, gone, touchdown.
Uh-huh.
Place goes bonkers. And then Carell Buckholver comes out of nowhere, tears his ACL, and that's the end of it. But, like, all this stuff is what people want to harken back to, is that big playmaking ability, if you will. Uh-huh. And that's what they want to see from Deshaun. But everyone else is mostly just, yeah, well, it'd be nice to see, but I'd rather just see Carson's there ready to go week one.
Even Deshaun is saying, like, hey, I'd rather let's do that week one, save that for the season.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to give away all that right now in the preseason game.
And plus, when it's in their mindset, You can speak to this better than anybody, Trey, but my feeling was when it's in your mindset that it looks like it's not going to be till week one, isn't it harder to rev it up to get yourself going full speed tonight for a game when you've already kind of conditioned yourself to say, come week one is when I'm going to really be out there busting it? Because if you go out there and you're not playing 100%, good things don't happen.
No, it does not. It doesn't. So if JP is coming out saying, hey, we play in the first half, all right, then, hey, that means the rest of you guys, hey, y'all need to get yourself together.
Yeah.
Here we go. You know, because you're not going to put him out there. You're not putting JP out there with just anybody on that offensive line.
Yeah, no.
Matt Pryor, nah.
So next to him, yeah.
Yeah, Wisniewski,
nah. And you've said before he can be a little particular about who's next to him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's a couple of things that I know people will be talking about going into tonight. But if we all had our druthers, even if it's for a series, like I'll just say at all, do you want to see Carson Wentz play tonight?
Want?
Do you?
Yes.
Put it this way. If you were Doug Peterson, would you play Carson Wentz
absolutely
tonight?
Not.
Is anybody playing Carson Wentz tonight?
Yeah,
even for a series? I'm not talking about playing the three quarters as you could expect in years past. Is anybody going into this game tonight with the mindset of, oh, Doug, better play him tonight?
Well, let's see. You've had two preseason games and lost two quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
When you're that logical, Trey, I'm going to have to jump on with you.
You've had two preseason games and lost two quarterbacks.
So why are we even doing this?
I mean, the teams are trying to force the league's hand here, right?
I guess to
change this. Because, I mean, yeah, you can lose somebody, but they're trying to make a statement
at this point. And here's the argument we got into last week. Then what are the coaches doing saying they need time to evaluate players? Because that's been the argument this whole time. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you have to have four preseason games at least because that's where coaches evaluate players.
Yeah, I think that's the LJ Forts, your Nate Garys, your guys like that.
Yeah,
like,
but I don't need four games for that now.
No, apparently, and that's what they're saying. Games. We need two and some joint practices. Okay. This is the future. Make it happen.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, they just have to make up the revenue issue, but I think teams are saying to the league, this is stupid.
Mm-hmm. But they're going to make up the revenue issue because they're going to add two games to the season.
To the regular season. How the players feel season, about that.
The players will be all right.
Yeah. Where's my paycheck?
Yeah.
All right, let's party.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it's going to come down to.
But that's, okay, so they're going to have to increase their pay then. They're going to have to increase their salary.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the player's good with that.
All right. So here's the other thing that we haven't gotten into yet. I wanted to save this for this next segment here. But the word elite always gets thrown around, question marks around it, and you know Carson Wentz he'll get brought up in that conversation. And when you put up MVP type numbers in a year that you're mostly healthy, in a year your team goes on to win a Super Bowl, yeah, people will talk about that. But here's one of the things I really like about joint practices: you get the perspective of somebody else. You get the perspective of somebody that you're not going to be seeing for the next 16 games of the regular season. And Earl Thomas had some high praise for Carson Wentz. I want to see if people agree with it. I'll give you the quote coming up in a few here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. All right, I'm going to get labeled a hater, and I think that's dumb, but I think that's the way this is going to happen here because I'm going to disagree with some. And Earl Thomas is a guy that I've respected throughout his entire career, and I think most people have, and you know all that. And this is another argument. But Earl Thomas comes into town. This is what we're talking about with the joint practices. I enjoy hearing the other perspective. Like, I remember talking to Steve Smith, Trey, when you were a coach.
Uh-huh.
And Steve Smith was like, yeah, these coaches, these joint practices are dumb. Chip Kelly's training regimen is dumb.
It was funny. The other day, Malcolm Jenkins was like, oh, yeah, these joint practices are great. We love them. We get a lot out of them. And then they went to Alshon, and they were like, Alshon, your thoughts? He's like, this is stupid.
Where's the scoreboard?
Yeah, right.
This bleep doesn't help you get in the playoffs.
Right.
And I was like, interesting.
How do you really feel? One of those things.
Alshon's one of the best interviews ever.
I love the guy because no one is more efficient with his words than Alshon Jeffrey.
Maybe Ben Simmons.
Yeah, but Ben Simmons says sentences.
True.
Like, Alshon is usually like fragments with great inflection.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like the way he does it. And I respect the hell out of him for that. But they go up to Earl Thomas yesterday. And Earl Thomas gets asked about Carson Wentz. And Earl Thomas, as I guess some people would very much agree with, has put Carson Wentz in the elite status. And the quote that has made its way around the world already is this. This is from Earl Thomas, Ravens safety, former Seahawks safety, as we know. I would tell you, in this league, there's a small pool of guys that you'd classify at an elite level. And I think he is definitely in that pool.
Hmm.
Carson Wentz, elite already. I know.
Should we brace ourselves?
No, I'm not saying that yet.
Okay.
Because everything we're surrounding Carson Wentz to classify him as an elite quarterback has to do with what he almost did in 1 year, which was almost win an MVP, but he didn't. Almost get into the playoffs by himself, but he didn't. I mean, he got the team in the playoffs, right? They got into the playoffs. He hasn't played in the playoffs yet. Like, the potential is there for elite. He has elite potential. I can't say Carson Wentz right now is an elite quarterback.
See, here's...
Because there's no... The accomplishment isn't there yet. I think he will get there. I am very confident that he will get there. But the guy hasn't even played in the playoffs yet. I have seen him play, yes, at an elite level. Last year, I did not. Rookie year, the vast majority before Lane Johnson went out with the 10-game suspension. I think he's going to get there. I have every bit of confidence he's going to get there. But if I'm saying right now, today, on August 22nd, 2019, before the season even starts, I can't just up and say, oh, he's one of the best in the league. I can't. Like, elite to me is like, this guy has you in the playoffs automatically. He has you as a Super Bowl caliber team automatically. I haven't even seen him play in the playoffs yet.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Earl Thomas is going to be a Hall of Fame safety because mm-hmm. of his ability on the field mm-hmm. to see things before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at Carson Wentz. I'm being kind of serious here. Uh-huh. I think that he can look ahead and see. Oh my God! Look what this guy has. Look what he can do. Look what he has.
Uh-huh.
I think it's okay. I think that means a lot to me for him to say that, and I agree with him. I believe him. I shouldn't say agree. I believe him. I believe if Earl Thomas sees it, I believe it, because I do. I think this guy can see things that average people. Granted, he hasn't given it to us yet, no question. Everything you said before that is true. But he sees it that he's there now, so I believe Earl Thomas.
I mean, look, if you're asking whose advice should you take, Earl Thomas or mine,
no,
go ahead and believe Earl Thomas.
Right. But my point being that Earl Thomas can see... I think there's probably things that Carson Wentz, if we were watching a practice together, that we probably don't even see that Earl Thomas does.
Earl Thomas is a gypsy.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm that means a lot to me. I don't blow it off to say, not yet. I say, okay, good. Then he is there. He's there now.
Trey Thomas, there now, calling Carson Wentz elite today.
All right.
There's no all right. Like, see, but even with that, Trey, you agree with me.
Yeah.
With all the potential, all the potential's there. We have all the confidence in the world that he is going to get to that level again. But as of right now, if you say what is, like, what is 2 + 2 = 4. That is. That's a fact. But looking at Carson Wentz right now and his resume, he still has a lot to prove.
But man, that 17 season, though, was elite.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was.
Even coming back and playing with a fractured back and putting up the numbers he did, that was elite.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you?
Numbers were nice.
So what are you saying?
Winning the playoffs.
Okay. So winning in the playoffs is the only thing that's keeping him from elite status.
That's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the guy that he's going to be compared to right now, especially with the contract talks with Dak Prescott, mm-hmm. he's at least played in the playoffs and he's won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like, Carson, first off, has to be healthy to get there. And we can all say to the cows come home that, oh, that 2017, he would have won the Super Bowl as well. He would have done what Nick Foles did and won the Super Bowl. But, I mean, we've looked at an MVP like Aaron Rodgers would have a 15-1 team, was it? 14-2? Whatever it was going into the playoffs, and they lost in the first round. Or they lost in their first game.
Right.
So, like, things happen. You still have to prove what you can do in this league. And ultimately, what you can prove, what gets proven, happens in the playoffs.
You know what? I take that from a secondary player, though. Like you were saying, like, someone that has played against a lot of quarterbacks, that has seen what other quarterbacks bring to the table. When he says that he's an elite passer, I'm riding with him.
Oh, look.
That's like an offensive tackle saying that DN has something special about him.
Right, yeah.
You see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You've gone up against those type of players, so.
You see more than the average person.
Yeah.
You know, Trey has that trained eye. You see more of a DN than the average person. Yeah. For Earl Thomas to say that Carson Wentz is elite by watching him over a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
I'm all in.
Yeah, but here's the other part.
And I'm not saying that fandom-wise. I believe him.
But I also feel like if you talk to other players about other players, everybody's great. Everyone's like, I heard
the John Gruden effect.
Like for instance, like Miles Sanders.
They're all awesome.
Yeah, everybody's amazing.
Do you hear Miles Sanders talk about Trace McSorley?
Yeah.
Okay, that's my point.
Yeah.
Like, and I know they were teammates at Penn State. That's adorable. But what I'm saying is, like, players are like, how many players do you talk trash on to the media, Trey, during your career?
No one.
Okay. So, like, everyone's great. Everyone does a great job.
Listen, unless you're DeMarcus Lawrence and Lane Johnson.
Yeah, those are the few and far betweens that we love, for the record.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is, we look at those guys. Like,
people forget he has no career sacks versus Lane.
Yeah, he chose elite.
He didn't say, oh, he's real nice. He said elite.
But what I'm saying is, the ripping of a player by another player is saying he's just good.
Okay, fair enough.
That's the baseline, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the way we hold elite, for him to say, whoa, elite, like you alluded to, I wonder if Earl Thomas puts elite in the category that we do.
Right, and I'll say this again, because I'm not ripping Carson Wentz by any means, but all I'm saying
is... hate Carson Wentz.
Here we go. No, he's no
Bob
Jimmy.
Hates Bryce Harper. You hate Carson Wentz.
And Jerry Rollins.
And Jesus. Jerry Rollins.
Who's taking Joel Embiid? Who hates him? Trey? Is it you?
Yes.
All right.
By the way, I watch him play, and like I have every bit of confidence that he's going to get back to that level. I know from last year playing with a broken back and putting up the numbers, I know I got a badass quarterback. But the offense clicked the way it did with Nick Foles. Nick Foles got the team rolling again in those last three games. Again, in the last three games of the season, just like what happened in the previous year.
So are you putting Nick Foles an elite quarterback?
He can get to that level, but he's not like one of the greatest in the league.
Well, he won in the playoffs. He won the Super Bowl. He was Super Bowl MVP, even though the offensive line should have gotten that. But.
Oh, you missed it Monday. Barrett said, you know, when Nick Foles outdueled Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Which he did.
And Trey almost broke something.
Absolutely.
Trey called Fred Gaudelli out on that, the producer of Sunday Night Football. And like Fred was like, okay, well, maybe I'll
all right, right, fine.
But like, no, like, look. Who won the game?
No, Trey's right on this.
No, he's not. No, absolutely not. This is the one area where I will say my 1 year of freshman football outranks Trey's 12 years in the league.
5 yards.
Well, how many points? How many points?
21.
Who won the game?
Come on, man.
Come on now. Come on. Stop playing with me over here.
If BG wouldn't have gotten that sack, okay, so tell me this.
Yes.
If BG wouldn't have gotten that sack, do you think Tom Brady would have taken him down and scored?
No, because Nick Foles would have called the Philly Super Special, which was him playing safety, and he would have picked it up and had a pick six.
Are you for real?
No, so
you
think for real.
The individualism, Brady won. Bobby, he won that individual match.
You think if BG wouldn't have gotten that sack fumble?
Oh, they were going in.
He was
going
to score.
Yeah, but I was just hoping there was enough time on the clock. That's how much I knew they were going to score.
We'll never know. I'll say this. We know one outcome. We'll never know the other.
Yeah, we'll never know. All right. Okay.
Bada boop, bada beep. Anyway, so back to Earl Thomas.
By the way, I just realized I have to hate Claude Giroux now since all the other superstars are taken. So thanks for that, guys. Trey hates Joel, you hate Wentz, and Bob hates Harper. I'm left with Giroux.
But cool. All I'm asking, so are you comfortable with throwing out there without beyond the shadow of a doubt that Carson Wentz, right now, elite quarterback?
No.
He can
absolutely get to that level with one healthy season.
So I'm not being nuts here.
No.
I'm not hot taking you.
But we all know he has it in him. And I think you do too.
I said that.
Yeah, we just need to see it.
But like, you have a guy like Earl Thomas, and I'm not pushing that aside, and I'm not saying
he's a Hall of Famer.
I'm not saying he's wrong by any means. I'm just saying as a guy from outside looking in, going, wow, all right.
But I'll be honest, it damn puts a smile on my face when I hear Earl Thomas say that.
Hell yeah!
Because that means it's not just us. It's not in our minds. Like, 2017 wasn't this, like, a mistake year for him.
You can't be an elite quarterback without winning in the playoffs.
I agree.
I think that's the best way I can put it.
How many elite guys would you say there are? Five, six?
Five. I wouldn't go more than five.
Okay, yeah. So five.
Yeah. So who are your elite quarterbacks?
All right, so Patrick Mahomes is the guy that everyone wants to talk about.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers, still Tom Brady.
Yeah, the Tom Brady guy's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, I'd say you'd have to put in there.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
I think he's going to have a down year.
I don't, like...
He's 40 years old.
Yeah. He's eventually
going exactly. He's like, is it hating Drew Brees to be like, yeah, I think he's done.
He must be sprinkling like lion's blood on his eggs or something. I don't know.
He's got the deer antler spray.
But he's still there until proven otherwise.
Right.
Like, and then maybe like a Russell Wilson, a Philip Rivers, a Rapelsberger. I don't know who you got, but take your pick.
Right. But all those guys have, with the exception of like Philip Rivers, like have won in the playoffs, have won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
At least a Super Bowl. Like
Philip Rivers is a guy that's got to get over a hump.
Without
a massive one.
Yeah. But is he going to do that in this year?
Maybe.
But what I'm saying is, look.
So, you can't put Carson in that top five.
Because he's got to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree.
We can all talk about puppy dogs and ice cream and what could be. I want to talk about what is. And I think that, yes, right now he has that potential to be one of those top three, top five quarterbacks in the entire NFL. But he's not going to really be in that category until he wins in the playoffs. I'm not saying he needs to go out this year and win a Super Bowl and start a dynasty. But just get into the playoffs. On your own, not on your own, you do it with the team, obviously, but with you playing as the quarterback of this team for 16 games, go out there and make it happen. If you got to miss a game or two and you still get into the playoffs, fine, go do that and win. I just want to see the guy play in the playoffs and have success. That's what you have to do to be an elite quarterback. It's not
in your mind.
It's not about... really, I mean, in all seriousness, it's not about the numbers.
I'm saying that only because Earl Thomas said it.
Earl Thomas got nothing on my freshman year of football. How about that? By the way, just for the record, it was freshman high school, not college. Just in case. Okay. No confusion.
6-1.
We're no secrets here. No secrets. Let's get Graf in here. Graf, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, so quick question for you, man. It's good to hear from you, too, by the way.
Thanks, bud.
I hope the baby and the lady are doing well, man.
Everyone's great, man. Appreciate it.
The baby is a lady.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, that's actually a good point, Bob. That was a good one. So if Patrick Mahomes comes out this year and has the same style of year that Carson Wentz did last year, is Patrick Mahomes not elite anymore?
No. Because he'll have an elite. I mean, you can have an elite season, but I'm talking about elite. No, wait, go ahead. Explain. Go ahead.
So elite status is an annual thing. Like, you can just lose your elite-um.
Well, no. After for instance, year. so Aaron Rodgers isn't losing elite status because the Packers had a down year. He's still an elite quarterback, but we're talking about judging
what
guys after
done
3 years.
They won their Super Bowl.
Not much.
Best time, double check.
He's won an MVP, I believe, since the Super Bowl.
Okay, so does an MVP have to be included in that conversation?
As an elite quarterback, absolutely. Because there's a bigger body of work.
I mean, he did throw two, like, Hail Mary buzzer beaters in the same game, so...
Yeah,
that's pretty, I mean, what was one of them, though, with the fake ref?
The fake what?
Remember that?
No, what was
the
that?
The fake ref. With, the second string referees. You remember? And, like, one guy had his hands up in the air.
Yeah, the Seattle game.
Oh, right.
Seattle game. Wasn't that what one of them was? I'm pretty sure. But anyway, so back to the elite conversation. I think 2017 Carson Wentz is elite. And
yes.
I actually truly honestly believe that 2019 Carson Wentz will be the 2017 Carson Wentz. So, yeah, I believe he's elite.
Yeah, I need a bigger body of work. That's the only thing. Like, if you're comparing to Aaron Rodgers, he's an MVP, he's a Super Bowl winner, he's got the bigger body of work to already classify him as an elite quarterback. Not even just now,
but
all time.
I'm not going to compare him to Aaron Rodgers, but, like, you're making a statement that Patrick Mahomes is elite based off one season.
I was just going to ask that.
Well, it's MVP, pretty damn good.
Okay. Well, I'm not arguing that Patrick Mahomes isn't elite, but I don't know. I just feel like if you're looking at seven quarterbacks who would probably be within your elite category in the NFL, I'm sure that Carson Wentz should be one of them because I don't feel as though there's more than seven other quarterbacks that are better than him.
All right, let's say this. What if Carson Wentz got named MVP after that 2017 season, Mark, even though he got hurt?
Then you would have more cause for the eliteness, yes.
Okay, so then he's elite.
Well, if he doesn't get hurt, then he probably goes on and does the same thing last year.
Wait, say that again.
If he doesn't injure his knee 2 years ago,
right,
then he probably comes back this year, or excuse me, last year,
right,
and gets the MVP status again. If not the MVP award, at least in that conversation.
Okay.
I see. Here's my problem with the conversation. To me, Eli Manning's elite. He's got two Super Bowls in his pocket.
He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, that is going to happen, Graf. And thanks for the call, man. He is going to make it into the Hall of Fame, unfortunately.
No doubt about it.
When people talk about, like, they talk about, oh, so Trent Dilfer is better than Dan Marino. Is Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl? Like, that argument. I never go to Trent Dilfer. I always go to Eli Manning. Like, the worst quarterback ever to win two Super Bowls.
Yes. Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw called his own plays. Terry Bradshaw deserves every ounce of credit that he gets. I hate that argument against Terry Bradshaw.
Eli versus Terry is an interesting debate.
No, it's not.
Why?
Because Eli sucks. Terry doesn't.
Terry's numbers were not good.
In what era?
Terry Bradshaw.
In the 70s?
I don't know what you're...
Eli's the pass-happy league that is now for a quarterback?
Yeah, but I mean, okay, even if it wasn't pass-happy, his... touchdown to turnover was horrible, Terry Bradshaw. Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm not saying Terry Bradshaw won those Super Bowls over the defense. I'm not saying that even a little bit. Look, I didn't watch the Steelers in the 70s, but like just from what I have seen of them, I don't like the Terry Bradshaw hate that he gets, because winning four Super Bowls is nothing to shake a stick at.
No question.
It's double the amount of that bum Eli Manning. And Terry Bradshaw never had Terry Bradshaw face. Like Eli Manning has Eli face.
Well, that's important.
That's
yeah, but Eli has hair. Terry was bald.
Bald is beautiful.
That's Bob. Right.
Bald is beautiful. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a minute, this happens, it seems like, I don't know, every other week now. We got a little hype video of Ben Simmons. It happened again yesterday.
I saw it in bed last night.
How'd that work out for you?
Hold on, let me...
Pretty well.
How do I say this? Okay. So did I, in separate rooms. Separate houses.
Yeah. Same city, though.
Same city. I was watching the Phillies. A little commercial break. Go to scroll the old Twitter, and there's the video of Ben Simmons shooting jumpers.
Yeah, I was on Instagram, and I saw Chris Johnson, his shooting coach, put it up, and it was fairly new, and I was like, have people seen this?
Now
I got to get it out there.
They were beyond the arc of a high school gym.
Oh, my God.
One or two, maybe well beyond the arc.
Yeah.
Maybe NBA range.
Oh, yeah.
And Ben Simmons.
It wasn't even my favorite part of it, the three.
What was it? The fadeaway? Oh, my God.
That's an indefensible shot right there. If he can perfect that, look out.
All right. We're going to get into that in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So I see the video come out last night, and it's Ben Simmons. I counted 9 jump shots, 1 dunk, and then one of the jump shots, it cuts out, and the video loops back. It's like 55 seconds.
He made it.
About to
tish.
10 shots, including the dunk, 9 were jumpers, 2 fadeaways, and I got to say, yes, that's an indefensible shot, Jamie. You are correct. And when Jordan had that, he was just incredible. And Kobe wasn't.
They weren't 6'11".
No. I understand.
Yeah,
but to Bob's point, if you're going to improve that shot, you want to. What happens, Bobby? What do you want to say?
I'm sorry.
You want to see the contact, right?
I do. And the fadeaway, that's cool. But you're 6'11". Do you have to fade away? I kind of want to see him going into people.
Kevin Durant fades away.
No, I hear you. Dirk Nowitzki made a living off of one-to-one fadeaways.
Yeah.
You're right. It is indefensible. There is no question about it.
I'll take that over the three-pointer every day of the week.
Yeah.
I don't need
a three-pointer from Ben Simmons. No.
I mean, it would be nice if he's wide open and they're taunting him to shoot it to make it.
Fire it out there.
If he can add that wrinkle of that fadeaway to his game, Nelly.
Like, that's...
Did you just say, whoa, Nelly?
Yeah.
Nice.
Whoa, no. I mean, college football is starting on Saturday.
It is coming up, yes. Miami, Florida.
It's coming up.
Yeah. Trey, it's going to be a painful.
Not the real Florida team,
Trey. It's going to be a painful one for you Saturday.
Two other ones.
The U versus the Gators.
I know, but I'm putting my money on
the U?
The Gators.
Oh.
Make business decisions, baby.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But that shot,
look, I feel like it's the, like, I feel like I'm on the crazy pills, as they say. Ben Simmons having a mid-range game is a good thing. And if he's working on that in the offseason, that's a good thing. And if we're continuously seeing video of him working on that, that is a good thing.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Like, that's how I can sum it up the best for people. But, like, the more I see him work on it, the better I feel about him having it going into the season. That's it. There's no other way to, there's no other way to take it. The only thing that really starts to really add to it is the amount of times you're seeing these videos get released now.
Yeah, and there's a reason why they, whether it's to instill him with confidence, to let the world know he's working at his game, to, there's a reason they're releasing these.
So in my brain, in the deep darkness of my brain, I'm thinking of, now brace yourself for this name here, Markelle Fultz last year.
Oh, God.
To start out the season, the cheer that
why,
he got.
Mark, why?
Can you imagine one year ago we were talking about Markelle Fultz being a real player on this team?
Yes. Okay.
That's crazy.
More crazy pills. Crazy pills for everyone.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
But to start the season last year, don't forget, Markelle Fultz wide open at three, misses the three, but gets a loud ovation for just taking the shot. Are we going to give the same type of ovation to Ben Simmons?
Absolutely.
Yes, you are. And that's why they're releasing the video now, to take all the pressure off of it.
Really?
Yeah, they're 100% going to go nuts, even at an attempt. A made three-pointer, the roof may blow off the Wells Fargo Center.
But I'm not even talking about a three. I'm talking about maybe just open at, like, the elbow, and he shoots. Now, what's good about this video also is that all these shots are off the dribble. Like, yes. He's creating his own shot.
He's not going to be a catch-and-shoot player.
No, that's what he has to do.
I understand that, but in the scenario that he's bringing the ball up, and they're D'ing him up, which they will, obviously, when you have to play him up, that it creates more space down low for either Al Horford or Joel Embiid, whoever's under the basket. So that helps spacing, which is what a point guard has to thrive on, right, is that great spacing. If he can create more of that by having a defender come out to guard him, oh, guess what? Sixers are all of a sudden even better than people thought. I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, you'll take it.
And I'll especially take it now that there's this little drum up of how great the Celtics are all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Jaylen Brown's been impressing with Team USA.
Have you seen this lately? Oh, Kemba Walker all of a sudden's Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Right. Wait till Ben Simmons is guarding him.
Yeah.
Good luck, Kemba.
Exactly. Like, that's, I watched over the last couple of weeks here, people really start to drum up the Celtics again. And I'm like, these are there tons of fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Hype machine.
Yeah. Keep these videos coming with Ben Simmons. Keep giving the confidence more and more that he's going to develop that part of his game and have that in his arsenal this season. Yeah, good luck, rest of the day. I'm starting to actually, you know what? I might even flippity floppity here and go ahead and back James Ennis. Go ahead and walk through that East.
Whoa.
Yeah. Go ahead, James Ennis.
Okay.
You talk that smack.
They're going to.
I see a really good start by this team.
Yeah.
I see an 11 and 2. I know they do.
First month.
But I see like an 11-2 start and opponents averaging like 85 a game. Them just being dominant defensively. I do. I just have this vision in my head. They're going to get off to a really, really good start and they're going to dominate.
Yeah.
What makes you say good start?
Like, I don't know.
I
do know why.
Is it just the tip of the iceberg, or do you think that they're going to have a little sputter session during the season?
No, I just think it's going to be dominant. I think it's going to be a dominant. I think they're going to have a great season.
Okay.
And I think 60 wins is your benchmark.
Okay.
No question. But I guess what it goes back to is because I do remember when the Sixers signed Moses Malone in 83, before the 83 season. And I do remember them getting off. I think they won 7 in a row, and their first loss was on a Friday night. I was walking to Cherry Hill Mall against Indiana Pacers, something like that, whatever it was. But I just remember that team being dominant at the beginning, and you saying, wow, this team is exactly who you thought they were. I think that's what's going to happen with the Sixers team. I don't know why. I just am not looking at the schedule, and I do know it is hard, though, at the beginning. I just think they're going to be a dominant team early.
Well, the Sixers in 2001, didn't they win 10 in a row to start their season?
Yeah, they were like 41-14 to begin the year. Yeah, they were crazy. And then they made a trade. They traded their starting center.
Right, but he also had the wrist injury.
Yeah, Theo Radcliffe. And they got Dikembe to...
We can talk about it with Allen on Saturday.
Yes, we can.
Hey, Alan, remember when you guys started? What was it, 41-14? That was awesome.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think remember that?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
First question. Alan, where do you live now?
I live here.
Brandon in South Philly's got something on this Ben Simmons video. How you feeling, Brandon?
I'm loving it, man. I seen that video last night. It blew my mind. I said, listen, if he can make this shot all the time, we had two of the most dominant players in the NBA with Embiid and Ben.
Yes, no, that's exactly what we're that's what we're anticipating. It's funny when you're that close to being like just a overall dominant, going from an all-star type player to an MVP type player. When you're that close, where a mid-range game can put you over the edge, yeah. And you already have a guy who here's another elite, a guy who is elite like Joel Embiid. You have two of those guys on the floor, and what Tobias Harris can bring you as a scorer without Jimmy Butler here, yeah, that's going to be a pretty good team.
It's going to be good. I can't wait. I can't wait for this season. I was calling, trying to get some FanFest tickets because I'm trying to come this weekend. But I'm hype about this season. I'm hype about the Eagles, too. Y'all talk about Earl Thomas making his statements about Carson. And he's saying that in practice, not just on film that he's seen. He's watching him in practice. Trey can test to that. Going up against a guy in practice, you can tell how good a player is going to be.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Are you testing to that, Trey?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I was out. I've been out for the most part of 2 weeks here. Do we still have FanFest tickets? It is this Saturday. Do we have FanFest tickets still?
I don't know.
What's happening, Jamie?
There's no bosses around to ask. I don't know what's up for debate.
I mean, I have
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.